Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Ted Fishman's back. He's an award-winning journalist, the our expert on China. He actually wrote the book on the topic, China Inc., How the Rise of the Next Superpower Challenges America and the World. And I'm very happy to say he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Could not do without him. Ted Fishman, welcome back to the show.
So glad to be with you, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back. You know, Ted, years ago, 3-4 years ago, I started predicting that China would start changing their behavior. When it was announced that they were going to get the 08 Olympics, I started saying that China would start modifying its behavior in anticipation of being accepted by the world during the 2008 Olympics. And I even said that we would have less problems with North Korea during this period, because China would be, you know, putting their foot on North Korea's neck, saying, you know, let me tell you something, you're not going to mess this up for us. How accurate do you think that prediction was?
Well, I think it's quite accurate. China has been on a long course of changed behavior. If you look at the activities of the average person in China, they, as individuals, act very, very freely in their personal sphere, in their relationships, even in business formation, which is phenomenal, you know, biggest entrepreneurial boom of all time in the history of the planet, tens of millions of new businesses. And the Chinese have also changed their face. The government itself, which used to be faced old man cabal that kind of ruled everything secretly, is now ready for prime time. They look good. They're in suits.
It's not the Mao look anymore.
Oh no! This is the corporate board, the international politician, the arbiter for the rest of the world. But the other side of that, Jim, is that how is China changing the behavior of the rest of the world?
You told us the last time you were here. I'll never forget this. You said that China would be making the rules for the future.
Well, look how they've done it on the Olympics. Everybody expected that they would heed the International Olympic Committee's call for open press, for open coverage and everything. And then very long, very complicated, not all that satisfactory negotiations to get China to open the areas of the press that had just recently closed. Mm-hmm. To allow visas for journalists that it had banned, which it still hasn't done. And
so basically China won that war.
Well, I think they have. They are proving that they are the rule maker, and they've put on this great, great show that is a demonstration of China's clout, its power, its expertise.
Is it a bullying? Has it been bullying, you think? Have they used some bullying tactics? I mean, in other words, if you walk up to a bully who acts like he doesn't have anything left to lose, in other words, he doesn't care how bad the fight's going to be, and maybe he's just got one tooth missing in the front. You know, you're not going to hurt that guy very much. So I'm gonna negotiate. Maybe I'm gonna be a weaker negotiator than if somebody were trying to negotiate with me. You know.
No, yeah, it is bullying, but it's also just persuasion and creating a romance for China's model. China's model, which is one that pushes government authority, allows things to happen quickly because of deliberative processes that go on in messy democracies are shortened.
Yeah.
And the great lure of their market. You know, they've added more people to their middle class than we have people in the middle class. It's a different middle class. It's a far lower income, but they're still buying cars and washing machines. And people want a piece of that, so they're willing to play by those rules.
And you think that that's actually fed over into the Olympics as well?
Because of the sponsors?
Because of the sponsors?
Absolutely. I mean, if you are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on the Olympics and that China is your fastest growing area for market penetration, you know, we have many companies in the U.S. that are doing more than $1 billion worth of business in China. Their joint venture partners have, you know, the sons of members of the Communist Party on their boards of directors. And you know, this is where the rules are made in the relationships, not in the usual kinds of ways that corporations here make rules, which are, you know, board decisions with stockholder scrutiny and shareholder scrutiny.
Very interesting, folks. This is Ted's got a has got a view into the future with China, you know, basically making a lot of the rules. And I think the point is the things that he's told us were going to happen are coming to pass. 2020. We'll be right back with Ted Fishman. China Inc. is his book. I'm Jim Blasingame. Right back to you.
Say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
On Broadway.
They say there's always.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find all the things that we do here, the show and the archives and the Brain Trust and the articles and the newsletter and the blog and on and on. And smallbusinessadvocate.com. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check that out and use that to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. You can find all about Ted Fishman there, too, because we provide you with links and information about him, including the body of work that he's presented to us over the years, talking to us about China and what we need to know about China. His book is called China, Inc., and that's the title of the book too. I mean of the website too, right?
Ted? That's right, right. China-Inc-Book.
Yeah. China-Inc-Book.com. So check that out.
Yep.
And how's the new book coming?
The new book is good. As you know, it's on how we all adjust to a world in which older people are a much bigger percentage of our population, and people have fewer kids, and it does relate to China because, you know, China is the place where the rest of the world sends money to hire young people. Mm-hmm. And we have to figure out a way to stay working longer and longer and to be as sharp as the sharpest young people in the world.
Right. And the new book is coming out?
Well, I hope to be done writing it this fall and maybe it'll be out by spring or summer.
All right, so we'll make sure you launch that on the show. Let's come back to... Let's take for a moment and just talk about the Olympics. I know you've been watching them. I've been watching them. I love the Olympics. I love Olympians. I don't care what country they're in, Ted. When you see these guys compete against each other, and then when they get beat, you know, one beats the other, and they still come over and they hug each other, and it's a fraternity. It's a community that they all know what each one fights for. And even though sometimes there's some trash talking, basically they're all part of the same community, aren't they?
Yeah, I think for the most part, you know, and, you know, we like to root for our country, but those athletes have a lot more in common with each other than they do with me sitting in my chair.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And, but you know, you think about what they've gone through to get where they are. And, you know, if I had to identify the top two things that are the best things about planet Earth, I'd have to say that one of those two would have to be the Olympics, in the spirit of the Olympics.
Yeah, well, I agree. You know, Chicago, my hometown, is is bidding on the Olympics for 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to find a way to use what little money we have to impress people a little bit, like the Chinese opening ceremonies, which were just incredible. I don't know what we'll do. I don't know,
they
give
pulled
everybody
out
a Chicago-style hot dog or something.
They pulled out all stops, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, these were not the Beijing Olympics. These were the China Olympics. And I was thinking about that, you know, as a national project. You know, we kind of think about the Los Angeles Olympics, and that's not really the American Olympics. That was the Los Angeles Olympics.
Right.
And the Atlanta Olympics was the Atlanta Olympics, but these are the China Olympics. And, you know, the whole effort of the nation is poured into it. And
And I was reading about some of the workers, the millions of workers that were brought into Beijing to work, that were sent home before the Olympics, you know, to get them out of town. They didn't want them in. I was reading that some guy was lamenting that he was having to go home after helping build all this. He wasn't even going to be able to see the Olympics.
Yeah, he wasn't going to see them, and maybe he could watch them on a small TV at home.
Yeah.
Before the Olympics construction started finishing up and wrapping up, Beijing had 3 million migrant workers building projects in and around the city, and that all had to come to a halt because Olympic project or not, the construction was stopped in order to clear the air and also to get these guys who tend to dress a little less snappily than the elite out of town.
Well, and there's another concern for that I think we may all see, the world may see in the next 6 to 8 months or so, is once the Olympics are over and the spending for the Olympics stops, that could have an impact on the Chinese economy.
You know, that may be true or not, but, you know, the thing about China is that it is developing large city after large city. You know, Beijing's development was about six or seven years behind Shanghai, and then it came along full steam, and then China has 200-plus cities over a million people, and they're all going to want to be their own showcases. So, you know, there was all of this billions of dollars of infrastructure in Beijing, but it's going to be continuing as the rest of the cities build up. Shanghai is going to have a World Expo in 2010. The Western cities are going up. China's creating whole cities of a million or plus people that will go from zero to a million in less than 5 years. It probably won't abate in the way people have been predicting. I think China's going to build a country that is has an industrial infrastructure bigger than the U.S. In the next 30, 35 years, and it has a long way to go.
But you know, Ted, when I see the air quality that I know is probably twice as good as it was 2 weeks ago, I wonder, is China going to implode on itself environmentally over the next 10 years?
I think the answer is yes, I'm afraid. I think there's lots of good news scenarios for just about every problem in China, political, business, everything. You can kind of see a way forward if they choose it. But the law of large numbers is against them on the environment. Because
it really is, isn't it?
Yep. Even if they regulate.
And they wouldn't even talk in this last round of environmental discussions when even the United States was there trying to be part of the solution and not holding back like they did, thank God, goodness, in Kyoto. China would refuse to even be part of those discussions.
Well, they're putting economic growth ahead of everything, they're willing to take the wealth that is clean air and pour it into the wealth that's in people's pockets.
That's implosion waiting to happen, folks. Tin Till, right back with Ted Fishman. Stay with us. Bruce Hornsby and the Range, ladies and gentlemen, bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ted Fishman is our guest. He's the author of China Inc., one of my favorite books in the 21st century. And we're talking about China and how it's dealing with the Olympics and how the world is dealing with China. And basically, Ted says the world is dealing with China on China's rules. Right, Ted?
Yeah. More than we think, far more than we think, and more to come, I would say.
More every day. And you know, for one thing, see, China is, and India too, to a degree, are putting the rest of their competitors are at a disadvantage. I'll give you an example. Right now, we've got some heavy pressure in the United States to modify our carbon emissions. And you know, there's the whole international scene that we're encouraged to be part of, but then within the United States we have our own cap and trade policies that are being proposed that are going to make us maybe more environmentally friendly but less competitive in the marketplace. Well, China refused to even be part of any talks like that, to even think about making any adjustments in their emissions, but yet they're so. One thing that's going to happen, though, Ted, any country that agrees to lower its emissions, its carbon emissions, That creates more expense to do business and therefore less competitiveness. If we're all competing against China and they won't play by any of these rules, then they're going to become more competitive than we are.
Well, I think you fall into this problem, which is very much driven by China, which is that if China regulates, it will regulate those areas of environmental degradation that affect their people locally. But on carbon emissions, it's all externalities. So the things that China spews into the atmosphere are suffered by everyone in the world.
That's right.
And it's very hard to create a regulatory regime in which the pain is shared by people outside of your boundaries. Because you get a freeloader problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, you know, China is a freeloader. And it's kind of the opposite side of the coin of what the developed world has used China for. We have sent our polluting industries to China.
Yeah.
And now we're asking China to send clean air our way. And it's mm-hmm. just not willing to do that.
Well, and we're not going to put any. Whereas there are plenty of indignant groups in the United States and in other Western countries, who have some level of influence. There are no influences like that in China, are there?
Well, in the environment, I would say it's like the one area. It's so politically sensitive, and it's so damaging to people's lives to have a bad environment. That is the one area where some NGOs have popped up in China. And
tell the audience what an NGO is.
An NGO is a non-governmental organization that applies kind
right.
of pressure and does good works.
Like the Sierra Club and those kinds of groups
exactly.
in the United States. Mm-hmm.
And in the environment, China has allowed these, I think, because the central government wants to push for good environment, and it's up against local governments that push kind of sometimes very dirty economic growth. And these organizations can apply pressure where the central government cannot.
Is there a revolution waiting to happen in China? A balkanization kind of a revolution?
You know, I would make myself sound very silly by offering a prediction on that score because, you know, for 20 years, people are predicting, you know, the coming apart of China, and it just seems like there are always problems looming on the horizon for the country. But the government is far more skillful than people give it credit for.
Do we have anything to fear significantly militarily from China in the future?
In the distant future, I would say China wants to be the power that the world's largest country you know, that you would expect the world's largest country to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the Russians are getting very twitchy.
Yep.
In Asia. And Russia shares borders with China. It shares borders with countries that share
yep.
borders with China.
You think the
China
thing
would
happen-
be foolish not to pay attention to how powerful its northern neighbor wants to be.
Do you think that Russia fired a shot across China's bow this week with the Georgia incident?
I think Russia will tread very, very carefully with China. China is a huge customer that makes Russia very rich right now.
Yep.
But Russia wants to say, you know, we're not to be trifled with.
And you're not going to kick us out of the news just because you got an Olympics.
Right. And whether the shot is over China or not, China will respond.
Yeah. Very interesting. Hey, Ted, it's always a pleasure. It's always very enlightening when you join us. Thanks for being here. We're looking forward to next time already.
Enjoyed it very much, Jim. Thank you.
Ted C. Fishman, ladies and gentlemen, the author of China, Inc. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.